Portions of this program are made possible in part by listeners like you and by Winston Hills Ribs and Stuff, 5090 East Arapahoe Road, Centennial, Colorado. For more information, if you're in the Denver metro area, give them a call at 303-843-6475 or visit the website at www.winstonhillsribsandstuff.net.
By The Modern Gladiator, an online men's lifestyle magazine featuring straight-ahead, hard-hitting articles geared at today's modern male. For more information, visit the website at www.themoderngladiator.com.
The show that is guaranteed to change your life, right here on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org, or you might be joining us on YouTube / The Father Show. Either way, glad to have you. I'm your host, Mike Thompson. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Today, we have no other than Mr. Mike Ballard, and he is a career transition coach and trainer. He helps write resumes, LinkedIn coaching, outplacement, virtual consulting, and provides executive support. And Mike has over 9 years of experience in career transition consulting services, and he has helped over 1,800 professionals in transitioning. That also includes C-level employees.
Yes, sir.
As well.
Yes, it does.
All right. Or I should say executives. They're not really. They're employees, but they probably don't like hear that.
Oh, we won't get into that.
Yeah, I know. I've dealt with them. And yeah. But he has helped really program and project managers, sales managers and accounts reps, IT people, software developer, technicians, engineers, insurance and administration professionals. So I'm glad to have him. We're going to be talking about career transitioning. And we're really going to be discussing what you need to do and how you can do your career transitioning if you're going to be looking at new jobs coming in this year, or you're going to already in that transitional period. This would be a great opportunity. This is a great show for you to watch, and you can learn something from Mike Ballard, I'm sure.
I certainly have opinions.
I know you. Everybody does.
Yeah.
And I'm sure yours is going to be very rewarding to hear from.
Well, so, I hope so.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you for being here today. And I know you've been doing this for over 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did you do before that?
Well, you know, it's funny because I feel like I spent my early adult years trying to find what my career was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of different careers, and I'm a serial entrepreneur. So I've been, you know, from when I was 10 years old, selling greeting cards door to door in my neighborhood. I've always been trying to start businesses. And so it was ironic, actually, that I really didn't end up finding a career for myself, but now I help other people with their careers. Go figure.
Well, I think that's your career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just took me a while to find it.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I found my transition and transition into what I wanted to do in my 50s. So before that, you know, growing up, I thought I'd be a musician. Wanted to be a musician.
Me
went
too.
To college
Me
to be
too.
A
we're
musician.
Talking about that. Yep.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Had a liquor store for 10 years. I'd come to find out, and I think I always wanted to be an entrepreneur,
because I, even in the music world, I didn't want to work for somebody else. It was my own time, my own career, and my and working for myself. So I think I found that out years later, that the entrepreneur is the person that I'd love to be.
And you still are.
Still am. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Plan on staying that way. I don't have any intentions of working for anybody else.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Even if you're working for somebody else, you're still in business for yourself.
Absolutely.
It's just that if you're going to an office every day and, you know, nobody punches in anymore, but, you know, you do your 9 to 5 or your 8 to 7 or whatever it is that you do, you're still a free agent.
And I really like for you to elaborate on that, because I truly... That's true. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, that you are still working for yourself. Your paycheck might be coming from somebody else, but ultimately you're still working for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think everybody finds themselves in positions from time to time where, for whatever reason, it's actually easier to work, say, as a contractor or hang out your own shingle and provide services directly. So, you know, that's really the problem with employment, though, is because if you lose that paycheck, one day they call you in and say, hey, we're laying off your group. You know, thanks very much for your service. You know, sometimes you might get some severance pay, or you might even get outplacement services, which is one of the things that I do. But basically at that point, that was your only source of income, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things about free agency is, and I think a lot of people already know this, a lot of people have side businesses, or one spouse works and one spouse has the business they're starting, or perhaps they're both working, they both have a day job, and they're trying to start a business at night. A lot of people are trying to do that, and it's smart, because that way you've got other sources of income and not just the one. So
as an entrepreneur yourself, do you agree that people should have multiple levels of income?
Yeah, it's hard to do, especially if you've got, you know, kids and a mortgage and, you know, all of the overhead that goes with that. It's hard. And certainly most people are out there, you know, work in the employment world. But also that's changing. That's part of what's fun about what I do. You know, when I was coming up, I did a lot of things in sales and marketing, but also working with technology. And so now in this work, you know, the technology has had a huge impact. Even from 20 years ago, you know, back then, you know, the way you got a job was, you know, you found a listing in the classified in the newspaper, and then you filled out an application and sent it in. Now it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of technology in place to screen applicants.
Yeah.
You've got technology like LinkedIn, which is how you and I met. So there's a lot more that we have to know as job seekers. And yeah, sometimes it's possible to have your own business, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, having the day job and getting the W-2 at the end of the year and having health insurance, that's huge. You know, that's what people need to do. So, what I really do is help people see all the options.
Okay.
And for instance, contracting and temping, that's a huge growth part of the employment world now. Employers really like to, you know, it's like buying a car. It's a lease to own. So they bring you in as a temp or a contractor first. Then they can see if they really want to hire you. And that's better than any interview process. But that means contracting is really growing. And I saw where 30% of the workforce are now contractors, and that's projected to be 50% by 2020.
Yeah. So what's the advantage of being a contractor?
Well, you know, there are advantages on both sides. Like I said, for employers, they can evaluate you and see you know, whether there's a fit, whether you show up on time to work every day, you know, whether you complain when you have to work late, what's the quality of your work, you know, all those things. For us as free agents, it's a great way for us to evaluate the employer.
Right.
To see whether we like the boss,
mm-hmm.
Whether the boss treats us with respect, what the other people are like. And if you're working through a company, whether it's a temp agency or some other type of consulting company, there are a lot of different forms that it takes, but it's all temp and staffing. With companies like that, then if, you know, things don't work out and they need to let people go, you've already got an organization behind you that's going to find you that next thing. Or if you're deciding, I'm not really feeling good about this, then you can contact your temp recruiter and say, look, you know, what else you got?
Yeah.
And working through the temp and staffing world is very advantageous to employees. Another thing with the good companies, because there are a lot of different companies out there doing this, so you have to be careful a little bit about who you work with and really investigate them. But the good ones pay benefits. They have 401ks. With the big temp agencies, after 90 days on a contract, you qualify for paid vacation time. You're accruing one day of paid vacation over every 30 days. So it's not fantastic, but it's, you know, there are some good temp and staffing companies out there that take really good care of their people and that always have, that's the beautiful thing, they always have another job,
mm-hmm.
Opportunity or a series of opportunities for you to choose from. Once you get established and they like you and know you're good, then, you know, you can, there's a lot of advantages to it.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know the temp companies would offer vacation time and things of that nature. That's
sure. Health insurance. Yeah.
And health insurance too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a shocker.
A lot of times, like I say, it's not as good as some companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because their pool is much, much wider, but still it's insurance. And
yeah.
Of course now, you know, we had the ACA for a while. Apparently we're not going to have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, as a self-employed person, that was a real godsend for me.
Okay.
To finally have health insurance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we don't know what's going to happen with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we don't. Well, we got to take a break. I know that first one comes real quick. But you're watching The Father Show, and we're here with Mike Ballard, and we're talking about career transition. And we will be talking about this and discussing ways to do it. If you're in a transition right now or you're thinking about transitioning to, say, another company or business for yourself, this is the man you want to listen to and talk with. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Watching The Father Show, and we are here today with Mike Ballard, and we are talking about career transition, and that means whether you are transitioning out of a job into another job or transitioning from your job and looking at doing entrepreneurship. Either way, Mike has got some answers for you today, and we are just diving in and going for this and seeing how we can come out on the better end. But so you were talking about the agencies and how they
yes,
will, I mean, they give you vacation and health insurance, some of them, not all.
Right.
Is there a way to find out which are the better companies to work with?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think it's really important for job seekers when they do, you know, when you find yourself in a reset kind of situation, mm-hmm. and you're really thinking about, let's see, I want to make some changes here, or maybe you're just thinking about where you want to be in 5 years or 10 years down the road, and so you're planning for that. I think it's really an important thing to research that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's the traditional temp agencies like Adecco Staffing and Office Team and Apple One and mm-hmm. Kelly Services,
okay.
Robert Half, to name just a few. Those are the, you know, the international temp firms. And those, you know, for traditional office work, they're a great resource. So you could basically just do a Google search for, we're in Denver now, you know, Denver staffing agencies, and you'll get a list of 40 probably.
Yeah.
But then I think it's a good idea to, for people to canvas them, mm-hmm. you know, evaluate them. For instance, you can do Google searches and put the name of the company and then the word complaint.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or things like that. And you'll find out if anybody, you know, complained online. I mean, a company like Adecco, for instance, they're so huge that I'm sure they probably have some negatives, but they're also a really well-known company. But then, you know, you go to their website and you mm-hmm. see what they have to say. You can also look them up on Glassdoor.com. If okay. people know about Glassdoor. Where you can look up particular companies and see anonymous reviews. It's really a great website for just evaluating employers. We can talk more about that. But so I think it's important to investigate and evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you identify, especially with these bigger companies, like Adecco, for instance, has multiple offices in Denver and Boulder.
Okay.
So that you're going to have different personnel, different recruiters that you'll be working with. But especially with temp agencies, it's quite easy to then call them up. Usually I would say go to their website, submit your resume, then call them and ask to speak to a recruiter. And, you know, some are going to be more friendly. Some mm-hmm. some will say, don't call us, we'll call you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
really?
Sure.
Okay.
You know, there's good and bad out there, just like in everything. And,
yeah.
and so, but then you find the good ones and the people that you like, and hopefully you can actually go and speak to a recruiter face to face. That's a great thing, a great practice. And
yeah.
you know,
you dress up for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you go and present yourself to them and talk to them about, you know, what kind of opportunities might be available. They've already got your resume. And then you can find out about what their benefits are and why you should work for them, and you can evaluate them. A company like Adecco, I just know about them because I work for them myself. They also have computer labs
okay.
in their offices, and you can go and take an advanced Excel course or a PowerPoint course for nothing.
Hmm. Oh, really? For nothing?
Yeah. It's just that it's a service they offer to their people.
Okay.
And that helps them because it, you know, means
they can place you better.
Exactly. Yeah. You're more qualified to go out mm-hmm. and help their customers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great thing. You know, again, depending on what kind of work you do, you know, if you're in IT work, then the temp agencies might still be worth talking to, but there are also IT staffing companies. And again, you could do that same search.
Yeah.
IT staffing in your town, and then of course also there's LinkedIn,
yeah,
and what a fantastic search capability it has, and
pressured my son to get on LinkedIn, and
good.
I told him that's he's a aeronautic
okay
he's going to college for it anyway,
uh-huh.
and, so I told him to get on there and put his resume.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to do. I think especially for people early in their careers, LinkedIn is a great tool to identify role models.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could just do a search for aeronautical engineering, aeronautical engineers, and see who comes up, what mm-hmm. people come up, and see what they did, what certifications, what degrees,
right.
Who their employers are, how they progress through their career. Also on LinkedIn, you have groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you, did you find me through a group, through the Job Seeker group?
No, I just being nosy and found you.
Okay. Yeah. You searched for career whatever?
I don't know what I was searching for that day.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
Well, yeah. Apparently it worked because,
yeah.
you know, and that's, you know, this is a whole nother thing that we haven't really touched on. And that has to do with online presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always ask people how they, you know, how they found me, because that's part of my job. Now, again, I'm self-employed, so or I would say I'm more of an independent because I am employed mm-hmm. With multiple companies. But you know, I'm building my brand, so
right.
For you to be able to find me on LinkedIn, so that I have the opportunity to come and participate in your show. You know, that's a really important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why I was so excited to do it. Yeah. But that all has to do with search engine optimization.
Right.
Or SEO, if you might have heard of that.
Once or twice.
Okay. Just, you're familiar with it?
A little bit.
Okay.
I've heard about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're better than most, because most people don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what's
surprised me. But you're an entrepreneur, so you know.
Well, yeah, and that helped.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, I remember when we were talking one day, you mentioned SEO for
job seekers.
For job seekers. And I had never heard of that. So, you know, really tell our audience about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it really comes down to that this is one of the things that's really changed with the technology, with probably the biggest impact that the internet has had on job seekers is the ability for employers to find you. That was never mm-hmm. the case before. And so that's part of your job as managing your career and looking for work, is to make sure that people can find you. That's the basic reason why you want to be on LinkedIn, because then when someone's looking for a person with your skills and your keywords, then it's easier for them to find you. And SEO, just so people know what SEO is, when you search for deep dish pizza in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
You're going to get a lot of hits. You're going to get a couple hundred pages probably of results for pizza in New Orleans. But you're really probably only going to actually click on something on the first page.
Right.
Maybe yeah. the second page, possibly. Yeah. But most people, they're just going to click what's on the first mm-hmm. page. And so businesses spend millions of dollars to be on that first page to make sure that they come up. So when that comes up, that's a planned thing that these businesses have invested a lot of money in. And certainly things like Yelp and Angie's List and, mm-hmm. and these various services help with that. But the basic mechanisms of how that happens, that's really how search engines work and how they rank all the results that they find.
Right.
And that's really what SEO is. So when you're working on LinkedIn, for instance, there are specific elements to your profile mm-hmm. that impact your SEO and where you come in when someone searches for a person like you.
Yeah.
And that's really the other side of SEO is understanding the profile of the person who's looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then incorporating the keywords into your resume and your online branding so that you come up.
Yeah. And a gentleman that I was at a training the other day, and a gentleman mentioned that just changing a couple of words on your LinkedIn page helps your SEO.
And absolutely.
So it doesn't have to, you don't have to revamp your whole profile, just a couple of words. And help out.
In the right places.
In the right places.
Because the summary, and that's one of the things, it's really important to have a summary. There's really the headline page mm-hmm. or the headline line, the professional headline right below your name, and then the summary, and then the skills and endorsements.
Yeah. So we got to take another break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll dive more into the SEO, because I really want people to understand that, just how important that is for them. So you're watching The Father Show, and if you are a man that needs resources to help you get through whatever you may be going through, I ask that you would go to www.thefathershow, R as in resources, P as in program, .org, and find those resources that can help you in whatever issues that you may be having. But go to The Father Show resource program, click on your state, and find those resources and make the phone call that you may need. But you're watching The Father Show, and we'll be right back. Father Show. I apologize. Our engineer was signaling to me, and I didn't know what she wanted me to do, stop or start. So, but we're here today with Mike Ballard, and we are talking about career transitioning. And before we took our last break, we were talking about SEO on for your LinkedIn page and as you as an individual, how important that is and what that means to you in employees trying to find you. Looking for the field of position that they may have. So we wanted to continue that a little bit and make sure that people understand what that SEO is. And I know it's optimization for like you said, companies pay, millions of dollars for that. And we were talking about LinkedIn SEO and how you can change just a few little words in your summary, just so that you can pop up more in the SEO when people are doing search for somebody like Mike.
Yeah, there's really three components or fields within your LinkedIn profile that impact SEO. One is the professional headline at the top, right there below your name where it says either your current position, or you can write anything you want, but that's really a branding statement, and that should be very keyword heavy, and really be descriptive of what you do. Then the summary, mm-hmm. and of course, with the summary, you can add a lot more specific pieces of software, all kinds of different keywords that make up your brand. And then also the skills and endorsements. A lot of people think the endorsements are kind of a joke. They're really not. Those, in a website, in HTML, you have something called a meta tag. And the meta tags are the keywords that tell the search engine the content of your website.
Mm-hmm.
On your LinkedIn page, those skill tags are exactly that. They are tags that tell LinkedIn search engine what you do. And the number of endorsements you do has a direct impact on where you show up on search results. Okay. So endorsements are important.
So the endorsement that you do or the endorsement that you receive?
That you receive, okay. Yeah. Now, that's a great point, though, because, the best way to get them is to give them. LinkedIn is really very much of a pay-it-forward kind of a site. And there are, the two basic things that you can do for your contacts to help them, and that will also encourage them to come back and do the same for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's endorsing their skills and writing recommendations.
Okay.
Recommendations are really important part of your LinkedIn profile. And if you can get colleagues or customers or bosses, managers to write recommendations for you, it's a really great way to add value. And again, the best way to get them is to give them. So go write a bunch of recommendations for some of your most respected contacts, and they'll come back and do the same for you.
But, you know, and I think people forget that giving, then we are worried about receiving. And, you know, everybody seems to be, I want to receive, I want to receive. But what are you giving, you know, to in order to receive?
Yeah.
So I would like to see the world, not just on LinkedIn, to be more giving than worried about receiving. Because after you give, the stuff will come back to you.
Yeah.
But if you're not giving anything, what do you expect to come back?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've seen that borne out in many examples in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm in a bad way, it's probably because I'm thinking about myself too much.
Yeah.
And if I want to get out of that and break that, then all I got to do is look outside of me LinkedIn is really built on that concept because it's based on the basic concept of networking.
Mm-hmm.
And networking is really the thing that I think is a lost art, or if there ever was such a thing. And that's really what networking is about, is how can I give?
And I think that's the problem. I think people have a different concept of what networking is.
Yeah.
Because of some things that they've been to, networking events and things of that nature.
Right.
And
right.
It's hard for a person to let the other person talk.
You know,
say, let me learn about you instead of you learning about me.
Yeah. Well, that's, you ever heard of 5-minute networking?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to one of those?
No,
you know,
I haven't.
It's like speed dating. But basically, you've got 10 minutes with each person. And you have 5 minutes to talk about yourself and 5 minutes to listen to them talk and to determine whether there's anything to talk about more beyond that. And it's a great format. I've done it a few times.
Hmm.
But, you know, the thing about networking events, it's funny, you know, because we didn't even think of that when we were trying to figure out what to say.
Yeah.
We're not even really covering our agenda for this segment, but that's okay. Networking is really about your relationships and people that you know well and who know you well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that people sometimes don't understand about networking. It's not like you're calling a stranger and asking them for a job. You're just talking to your friends and family and asking them who they know. And it's all about people helping each other and people that care about each other introducing to somebody else that cares about them.
You know? So here's one that, you know, with men, and we rarely like to, you know, let other people know that we are looking.
Yes, or ask for help.
Or ask for
mm-hmm.
help.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, what you're saying here. This is a great opportunity for men to network.
Right.
To let other people know that you are looking for an opportunity.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't even approach it that way, though, because, again, that's where people start to feel like they're asking for something. I really look at networking as a research exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing is you're talking to the people in your life or talking to people that they know and asking them questions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as much. I think a lot of people do approach it that way, that I'm looking for a new opportunity. But it's much more effective, I think, if you approach it from the standpoint of I'm looking for information. I'm looking for I want to learn more about you mm-hmm. and how you do business and what makes you successful
mm-hmm.
and what are your problems? What keeps you up at night? What are the kinds of things, the challenges that are confronting you? That's a great way to get them to talk.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this is all really good job interview technique as well. You know, job interviewing is all about asking the interviewer questions, getting them to talk. That's how you really make them feel like you respect them. Mm-hmm. And we can learn so much from other people. So that's one of the things about networking. It's all about approach. And if you understand that you're in a position to help them just by the opportunity for them to talk about it, it may not be that you're a person that can solve that problem for them, but, you know, unless they're, you know, paying somebody to do it, they don't a lot of times have someone that's just going to sit down and listen to them talk. So that's a big, it's one of the biggest things that I have ongoing conversations with my clients about, is learning to ask good questions.
Okay.
And draw the other person out. And the more they talk, the better you look.
Are there any particular good questions that you would say these you definitely want to ask?
Well, you know, that all depends on the situation. I mean, I think for job seekers, this brings up my critical three lists. Okay. There are three basic lists that every job seeker should be maintaining. One of them, the first one, most important, is your contacts, people that you know. The second one is your target employers.
Okay.
And the third one is your recruiters. So those are two basic questions that you can ask anybody you come in contact with is, what companies are you excited about? You know, what employers, what's your employer like? Mm-hmm. What companies have you heard good things about? So that's one of the kind of differences when we talk about new ways to find work these days. One of them has to do with identifying employers first, then finding the opportunities, finding the way to go in the back door as a contractor, or finding a way to get an informational interview, or with the head of IT, mm-hmm. if you're an IT person, for instance. But focusing first on the target employers. So that's one of the critical lists. And then the recruiters, that's just a question you can ask everybody.
Okay.
Oh, who do you know? Do you know anybody who's a recruiter? Do you know anybody who's worked with recruiters? Have you ever worked with a recruiter?
Yeah.
You know, so then it just really goes from there.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did try, but...
Didn't work out?
No, they told me... It was after I had transitioned from another job and was looking for something, and they said I made too much for what I was asking to make now. And I was like, well, you know, you ask me what is my minimum, the lowest I would go. And I'm like, well, this is it. And she's like, ain't nobody going to pay you that. Not when you've been making this. It's like, all right, punish me for budgeting my money correctly. All right. But yeah, it was kind of funny, but yeah, nothing panned out
okay.
on that one. But.
Well, it sounds like you had a conversation. I think that's actually really instructive too, because there are a lot of recruiters out there and it's hard to find good ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge, and I'm sure anybody who's been out there probably knows this. You know, if you've posted your resume on Indeed.com, for instance, or Glassdoor.
Hang on, we've got to take another break.
Are we
break.
Running out of time? See, this is what happens. I start talking and I can't
stop. No, it's not your fault. Angela's telling me cut, cut, cut. So we got to cut. Everyone, and you are watching The Father Show, and we're here with Mike Ballard, the career transition coach and trainer. And we're talking about making that transition from employee to employer to finding a new position in a new company, whatever you may be looking for. But he's given some great tips on what you need to do when you are transitioning from one position to the next or from one company to the next. Maybe you're going from working for somebody to being an entrepreneur, which we're going to talk about here in a second. I know we're getting limited on time and these 12 minutes go by quick. So I know we have talked about customization of your resume.
Yes.
What is that?
It's just basically that everyone needs to understand that every time you apply for a job, there's an applicant tracking system that is screening and scoring your resume for keywords. So it basically means that every time you apply, it's really important to go through and break down in the job description that's published to try to identify the keywords and then make sure that your resume
has
those keywords. There's also a whole thing about frequency, too, that certain words are going to be repeated. And here's a tip. Wordcounter.com is a site that will count all the words in a document and then tell you the counts. So if the word customer is repeated 10 times, then you probably want to have it at least that number of times in your resume. There's a lot. There's a lot to that, but that's certainly an important thing. Now, let me just say that, you know, once people realize this, and this is really the reason why you talk to so many, I don't know about you, but I've talked to so many people who have applied for hundreds of positions and never gotten a response. It's a very common thing these days. And that's one of the reasons why. There are other things going on too. One of them has to do with all the contractors that are being hired. So every time you apply for a job, you're actually competing with contractors who those people already know. They've already proven themselves, and they're already in line for those positions.
And I think that's important for especially young people to understand, even before they go into college or during college or after college, that they are competing. And you are competing against other people that have experience, and they know that, I know. But a lot of them don't know to put those keywords in their resume.
Right. And I think especially when you're young, it's important to just get the experience any way you can. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I worked, I basically had to have a job all the way through, you know. I worked in a hardware store in high school. I had a landscaping business in high school. I did painting houses in high school, all kinds of different things. And then, of course, my work experience changed, but I was always getting work experience. So I think it's really important for young people, especially, you know, then you can find sometimes you break in as an admin doing temp work, and then you figure out, you develop relationships and impress people in the departments that you're interested in. That's a way to move up because the problem at the beginning is you don't have the experience to put on. So that's also difficult.
But you have to go that extra mile.
And you do.
That's going back to what you said earlier, that you are self-employed, even though
always.
You may be getting somebody paying you a paycheck every 2 weeks or a month or what have you.
Right.
But you are self-employed.
And one day they're going to say, thanks, but we're not going to need you anymore. And then you're going to have to go out and find something else. So, yeah, I mean, that's just something that happens with everyone. But why I think I wanted to touch on this resume piece. I mean, we talked about the temping and the working with outside recruiters, and we've talked about online presence, and we've talked about networking. So this is the biggest message that I think is important for job seekers to get, which is that you really got to be doing all of those things. The people that are just sitting home in front of their computer filling out applications and emailing their resume off, they're the ones that it's taking the longest to land. So it's really important to have a comprehensive strategy where you're doing a little bit everything. I'm not saying you shouldn't apply, but you want to be really selective about what you apply for. And then also be, you know, what are those companies that I really want to work for, and how can I find opportunities How can I meet people that work in those companies? How can I find staffing agencies that staff those companies? And then again, the whole networking thing is is also part of it. And maintaining relationships is the most important thing you can do in your career.
Yeah. Okay. And we were going to also talk about search strategy. What is that?
Well, that's really what I'm describing here.
Okay.
Is this kind of a comprehensive approach where you're doing a little bit of everything.
Okay, so you're not putting your application out just at any job that has an opening. You are kind of nitpicking, in a sense.
You're being selective, yeah. You're evaluating them.
Yeah.
You know, I also talk about, I mentioned about my critical three lists. Again, you know, this should all be a part of how we're doing search so that we're, you know, we're building our list of our personal contacts, we're building our list of target companies, and we're evaluating as many recruiters as we can so as to find the good ones and developing those long-term relationships with those recruiters. This is just the way that I try to impress upon my clients that just applying is not going to be enough.
Yeah.
And it'll take longer. So the idea is to, you know, do this balanced and comprehensive approach. It allows you to find a lot more opportunities.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I know I've heard that people should be, and you really should. If you want to work for a particular company, you should be looking at what they offer, what they don't offer, and find out as much as you can about that particular company, even before you go in for an interview. So when you go in for an interview, you have some knowledge about who they are and their corporate structure.
Yeah, ideally, the way you'd find that out is by actually talking to people in that company. And this is where the whole idea of informational interviewing comes in. Where if you can sit down and have a conversation, and again, you know, asking those questions to get them talking, especially if you've done your, you know, your research and you understand some of the basics and can get in there and ask intelligent questions and get them to talk about, again, what are the problems they face? What are the objectives for the company?
Yeah.
Where are they trying to get now that they've established themselves? What's their next goal? What's the next plateau they want to reach? The more you can have conversations like that, that's where you can actually can create positions for yourself, where maybe they don't know that they need a person like you.
Yeah.
But once they talk to you and understand you and your background, but have had a chance to talk about what their problems are, then maybe they see an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
So if you can even avoid actually, you know, going for published positions, but go in and create your own position. I don't know, I might be getting a little crazy here, but you know, that's really the ultimate.
Yeah.
And again, as you identify a company, then you start to you run into somebody who says, oh yeah, I work there, or no, my brother works there.
Yeah.
And then you get introduced and you develop those relationships.
If you want to solidify a position, what better way is to have them to make a position for you?
That can happen. That's the hidden job market.
Yeah.
And people do that. Not everybody realizes they can do it, but it really can happen.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I don't think a lot of people realize that they can do it. I don't know if it's the lack of can't think of the word right now, but confidence in themselves.
Well, I think, you know, I think we've been taught to follow orders.
Okay.
And that's really what it comes down to, is you're thinking outside the box. And
yeah, living inside the box. Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, really?
Damn thing. It does that. And
we can just jump right back in.
Yeah.
How are we doing for time?
We're 2 minutes.
2 minutes to go?
2 minutes to go.
Wow. It flies by, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Okay. So, I'm sorry.
No problem.
So, Mike, how can people find you? How can they get a hold of you? Somebody want to use your service?
I'll give you a website. It's www.truecareerpath.com. That's a good way to, you can see a bunch of material there and content that I've written on the subject and stuff. Also on LinkedIn. Those are really the best ways to find me. But I have a phone number, 720-641-5919. Give me a call.
Okay. And repeat that again.
So the 720-641-5919. I'll get crazy and add an email address, mike@truecareerpath.com. And send me an email, message me on LinkedIn. If you're just getting started on LinkedIn, you can get on there and look for me, and we'll start to get you up to speed on how LinkedIn works.
Yeah.
And perhaps a lot of people are already on there. I would imagine they are.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. And if you're not, especially if you're a young person and they haven't gotten on LinkedIn, it's really a great tool to use and have at your disposal to find people like Mike and find people that you may want to work for or even get some knowledge on how you can start, business of your own, for say. Mm-hmm. So really look up Mike Ballard, and that's B-A-L-L-A-R-D. And you can find him on LinkedIn, and you can also find me, and we're friends on LinkedIn. So we have that connection as well.
That's right. That's another thing you can do. You can get introductions from people that you know if you want to connect with someone. So, yeah.
Well, Mike, thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
It's flown by.
Yes, it has.
There's a lot to talk about, of course.
I think this is the quickest, it felt like the quickest one I've ever done.
So, yeah, I thought Angela was rushing us, but I guess not.
I guess not.
Okay.
But the information was so good, and I think it captured our attention.
Great. So, that's a pleasure.
Thank you for being on the show. But ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for today. And we are here on Christ the King Radio. And you can also find us on YouTube / The Father Show. And we have had a great time having Mike Ballard. His information will be on our credits at the end of this if you're watching YouTube. So don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, and also find Christ the King Radio on Facebook and The Father Show on Facebook as well, and follow us there. So thank you for being with us this week. It has been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. God bless.
Portions of this program are made possible in part by listeners like you. And by Winston Hills Ribs and Stuff, 5090 East Arapahoe Road, Centennial, Colorado. For more information, if you're in the Denver metro area, give them a call at 303-843-6475. Or visit the website at www.winstonhillsribsandstuff.net.
By The Modern Gladiator, an online men's lifestyle magazine featuring straight-ahead, hard-hitting articles geared at today's modern male. For more information, visit the website at www.themoderngladiator.com.
This program was produced by CTK Media Services.